Welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast. Kevin AC, Padres beat writer for the Union Tribune. Ryan Finley, sports editor of the Union Tribune, is here with me. Actually, we are in separate cities, but we are together on this podcast talking about the Padres once again. And it's later, Ryan, but it feels like the same story. Padres, two steps back, one step forward. Two steps forward, one step back. Where would you like to start after that, losing two of three against the Royals?
Just when I was ready to write them off, and today's show would have been, here's why they should sell, sell, sell. They reel you back in by playing the way they played yesterday. And again, look, we can disregard most of the runs scored after the or in the ninth inning. That said, one of the most complete offensive performances of the year. And you know what, Kevin, if they could just score 19 runs every time out, it doesn't matter how bad their starting pitching is. I thought that that was a little bit of a statement game, and certainly a game that they needed to win and probably needed to win big there. It just a very surprising outcome given what we know about this team so far.
I think that you're right, or at least like you could be right. Like that is the kind of game that you want to come out and not only are we not going to get swept, we're going to thump you like we should have at least one of the other days. This team just has me at a place, having watched 99 games, where they just don't then respond after a game like this. At least they haven't the last few months, where, wow, you're watching in 24, you're watching in 25, you're watching in 22. When they got going, they got going. This team has not got going. And so they're going to have to do that before I'm willing to say anything. What I will say is, like, you can look at what happened this weekend one of two ways. The ultimate, I'll say they gained a game. Yep, they did. They gained a game, and there's plenty of time left. Bad teams do what the Padres did. They could be in the wild card spot now had they swept the Royals. They could be 1.5 back, which is a lot better than 2.5 if had they won Friday. And as bad as Saturday's final score was, 6-1, if you were watching it, you know that in the early innings, they had a chance to change that game and to get the Royals starter out, get to a bad bullpen, force them to like give yourself an opportunity against bad pitchers. And believe it or not, that's where a lot of teams make their hay, is when you're facing middling relievers who have to cover the fourth or fifth inning. Sound familiar? So like the Padres really lost an opportunity this weekend is my take. That said, they gained a game and are 2.5 games right out of the wild card spot.
Right. Middling teams, whether it's baseball or football or whatever, are inconsistent, right? Great teams are consistently good. Bad teams are consistently bad. You at least know what you're getting out of it. When you're 500, you know, to me, the frustrating part continues to be with this team. You know, you have a pretty good idea of what you're getting out of their pitching most nights, unless Michael King's on the mound, right? Most nights it's patch it together, right? To me, it's the offense. Is we've seen some signs of the offense improving. We've seen some signs of individual players improving. Fernando Tatis Jr. is homered in back-to-back games. Jackson Merrill had two homers yesterday, right? As that's happening, Manny Machado is back to not being very good. You know, there's
terrible series.
Terrible series. And there's just such inconsistency almost game to game with this team. You know, you look, hey, you know, they scored a bunch of runs on Friday night, fell apart at the end, went extra innings. We should have won that game. They put up one and can't stop rolling into double plays on Saturday. And then Sunday they come out and boom, 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 they're ambushing a bad pitcher on a bad team. Like, that's the maddening part. And Kevin, I guess I'm no closer to thinking they're going to buy now than I was 3 days ago. To me, if this is who they are going forward, I think they have no choice but to sell.
Okay, I think you're right. I do. I think you're right. The offense is what has to improve. The pitching is what it is. They're piecing it together, as you said. The offense has to improve, and that's why it was kind of, if you were looking for reasons to be optimistic, I imagine that it was disheartening this weekend to see what Manny Machado did. Miguel Andujar had a big game Friday, bad game Saturday. Like, you know, Ty France can't be the guy carrying this team. He just can't. I mean, what a great story. And what a plus-plus role player. But he can't be the guy carrying this team. Jackson Merrill is either really good or really bad. Mm-hmm. That's inconsistency right there. So, yes, I still am to the point, though, if they could get this offense rolling for a week and a half, then this has a chance to be a very different team. Now, like you and I, probably of the same mind, it sounds like. I think a lot of fans of the same mind. I just want to remind us all. I'll look in the mirror as I say this. I just want to remind us all that's really easy for us to throw away a season.
Yep. Well, and let's put it this way. I think that the Padres organizationally are looking for a reason to be buyers. They want to be buyers. AJ Preller has made his bones in Major League Baseball by being aggressive at the trade deadline, right? All of their good players are in the except, well, I'm sorry. Manny Machado and Xander Bogaerts are not getting any younger. This is their window. I think that they want to buy. But I still think to look yourself in the mirror if you're AJ Preller, this is a team that's going to need to get hot and at least be more consistently good here in the next week or so.
Yeah. And you know, you got to be the guy who's can find some ways if you can at all do it. In addition to the things that you said, I don't see any way that the new owners who are buying their share at a valuation of $3.9 billion, they're buying a team that's been drawing 3 million people. Pretty sure they've done their market research. The Padres are not going to draw 2.5 million people if they go into some sort of rebuild or if there's no hope for next year. I mean, I've already been, what's the word? I've been a little skeptical about their ability to maintain this with the prices where they are. They may have found their, you know, their ceiling on some things, right? There's only so many people in San Diego. There's a war going on. There's gas prices. There's a lot that people have to spend their money on. Like, if you look at the crowds this year, like, this is a tenuous position. I do not think they want to give up on this season. So very tricky point that they're at right now.
Well, and they don't want to be known as the people who came in and killed Peter Seidler's vision, right? They don't want to be known as the people who came in and said, whoa, 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 fiscal responsibility. Because I think then you lose, I think, a lot of, I don't want to say bandwagon fans, but people who are there because it's the place to be, you know?
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely you do. Yeah. I mean, that's the same thing, but also a little different. I don't even think that's a possibility because like that right there is the recipe for 2.2 million people. And that's not a money maker. That's, you know, even in the new economics that MLB owners are dreaming of with a salary cap and, you know, centralized media rights and all that. I don't think that's a recipe for, you know, growing. I mean, if you bought this at $3.9 billion, you're kind of thinking that the value is going to go up. So it just doesn't make any sense that they would be okay with being, you know, mediocre because, I'm sorry, whatever ancillary things there are, their concert business, their development around the ballpark, The team is the team and the 3 million people that come is the central part of the business.
Right, right. I was there the day they sold $1 million in Padres City Connect merch on an off day at Petco Park or in the morning at Petco Park. People aren't spending that kind of money. They're not spending $200 on jerseys and $60 on hats because they think that graphite or anthracite or whatever the heck that color is looks good. They're doing it because they're Padres. And San Diegans have shown a willingness to support a team so long as they try. I say this as somebody who's a, you know, born and raised San Diegan, as are you, Kevin. We can smell cost cutting a mile away because we've seen it, right? We've seen it. And I think that if they get the whiff of, oh, the team's trying to cheap out here a little bit, that's going to turn a lot of people off.
And it's a real perilous thing because they might be doing the smart thing, right? Mm-hmm. But San Diego fans are highly skeptical. And I'm in no way, like, I'm just stating facts of where we live, all the things we have to do, the history here of being beaten down by, you know, ultimately a team leaving, but teams not being consistently good. I mean, ask Mark Ziegler about San Diego State basketball, the most successful franchise in the history of San Diego. And Attendance ain't what it used to be.
Nope.
Now, I know there's a lot of reasons and blah, 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 different sport, but there's all sorts of, but like, it's just not. And hey, go take a look at Yankee Stadium. Like, there's a reason the Padres are competing with the Yankees for second, because no one will ever pass the Dodgers with the size of their ballpark and how good they are, all that. Not only have the Padres shot up in attendance, the Yankees aren't selling out every night. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, you got to have a compelling product.
You do. You do. Kevin, a family of five over here. You know, the beach is free. Petco Park is not free. Petco Park is looking at $80 or $90 a person, all in for everything, factoring in food and parking and everything else. And that's something, as a paying customer, again, I don't get free tickets. As a paying customer, I'm happy to pay that if the product is worth it. And because I know they're trying. If it becomes clear that they're not, that calculus changes in my household, at least. And I think I speak for a lot of people.
I can't imagine, without a doubt. I don't understand how people afford it now. I really don't. I mean, I have all the respect in the world, which is why I try to stay out of the whole, like, hey, people show up or whatever. Oh, that's it's a big investment, man. And the team has to be compelling. They've done a wonderful job at it. We can start talking here soon, if the Padres are out of it, about the overall and full wisdom of the vision of Peter Seidler, because the fact is, and I've been saying this for years and smart people have been saying this for years, that it wasn't sustainable to continue to do Xander Bogarts, to extend Manny Machado, to sign pitchers to $20+ million contracts. It just wasn't. This is San Diego. So there, it's not like, oh, genius, man. Peter Seidler had it, knew everything. No. But, like, what he did do was get y'all excited about this. And he did it by bringing in Juan Soto, give A.J. Preller a lot of credit. I think that their business side has done a wonderful job with the ballpark and all that. But the big deal here is winning and exciting players.
Yep. They're globally relevant and they're globally interesting because of Peter Seidler. I did not say they were successful. There's no rings yet. But they are globally relevant and interesting, and because of that, and that is worth to me something. What's it worth? Hard to quantify, but it's worth something.
Another thing that we can go over, you're right. If the ring is the thing, the Padres haven't been successful. I happen to think that's a ridiculous argument. I know.
Listen. Yeah, same.
Yeah. Like, I mean, the ring is what you're shooting for, and yes, on some levels, you failed if you didn't get the ring, but why don't you count the guys who have rings? They've been highly, highly successful, the Padres have.
Right. Speaking of a franchise, how's this for a segue? Speaking of a franchise that has been highly, highly, highly successful with only a couple of rings in its history, the Atlanta Braves, which is where the Padres find themselves in a four-game series starting tonight. Before we get into the starting pitching, Craig Stammen admitted this to you yesterday. This is an open secret now. The Padres' pitching plans are patch it together with shall we say, starters who can go twice through the rotation and long relievers and try to get to Mason Miller or Adrian Morahone and Mason Miller, unless it's Michael King Day, and then maybe everybody gets a break. To me, it's as good a strategy as anything, looking at the guys who they have. Kevin, this is their new reality, isn't it?
Yes, and it's not sustainable. I don't even know about filling all the innings required to get to game 162, right, even if you're out of it. It right. certainly is not sustainable as a contending club. But that's why this couple weeks by the offense is supposed to show that, hey, if you go out and you get another starter or two, or you get a starter and a reliever, whatever, like then it's okay. So, but yeah, they're just trying to make it. And they do need, they need Musgrove and or Nick Pivetta to come back, but that won't be till the mid or late August. They need Walker Buehler to pitch better. They probably need Randy Vasquez. I'm not saying they need all these things, but a combination. You know, they need Randy Vasquez to work from, you know, three innings to four and get back to that five-inning guy that keeps you in the game, right? You know, five innings and two or three runs, you've given your team a chance to win. Yep. Two, I think the winning percentage is like 70%. Five innings, two runs, your team wins 70% of the time. The Padres should win 70% of the time, if not more bullpen, that they have Jeremiah Estrada back in a couple weeks, maybe Jason Adam by the end of the month. So, but yeah, this is no secret anymore. Look at who they have in the bullpen: Kyle Hart, Randy Vasquez, and who's my other long, Matt Waldron. They're just, you know, tonight, Griffin Canyon, right? Am I right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, tonight's JP Sears, Kevin.
One's a lefty, one's a righty, same guy. Right. That's what they'll do. If they're going well, if they're up 19-1, maybe this guy gets to keep pitching. Otherwise, boom, we're going right to Matt Waldron or Kyle Hart.
Yep. JP Sears tonight, 2-2, 5.03 ERA. Going up against Bryce Elder, 5-6 with an ERA around 4. Elder's been bad lately, 11 ERA over his last 4 starts. He's allowed 8 home runs during that stretch, but he's good at home. Our Jeff Sanders points out 3.34 ERA in 10 starts at home. I forget, Kevin, is this supposed to be the good JP Sears start or the bad one? Because he alternates. Good then bad, good then bad.
Yeah, I would have to – let me see. It's funny. When they've gone to this new strategy, I'm just like, hey, whatever. His last one was 4 1/3, gave up 3. That was the loss to Toronto. I think that was another one of those where, you know, the offense could have helped him out a little bit. I can't stress that enough, that the offense needs to do better. There's no doubt this starting pitching stinks, by and large. It wouldn't be this bad in terms of its innings if the offense scored more early. No team has scored fewer runs than the Padres in the first 6 innings of games this year.
Right. Tuesday, this is the game I'm circling of the 4. Walker Buehler, he returns 5-5 in the ERA of 5, but has been terrible lately, going up against Ronaldo Lopez, who's returning from an injury and actually pitching his butt off. Buehler has a 16 ERA over his last 3 starts. He has taken – when was the last time he grabbed a baseball, Kevin? Has it been a week and a half?
It's been 9 days.
9 days.
Yeah.
Yep, week and a half. They're hoping that this gives him his body a little bit of a reset, see if he can sort of get back to it, because he was, for a very long stretch of time, their most consistent starting pitcher, and he's been consistently bad in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah. 1.71 ERA in June and a 16-something, I believe. Yeah, it might be being kind of in the 3 July starts. Walker Buehler doesn't want to necessarily acknowledge it outright, but there's no doubt that the Padres, you know, saved him here until the 5th game of the second half because he needed a rest.
Yep. Wednesday, Michael King against TBA for the Braves. Padres are 1-2 in Michael King's starts in July, but he has a 2.12 ERA in those 3 games. Still clearly trying to figure it out on the mound, but my goodness, numbers are good. His numbers have been good.
It's funny, man. If you think about it, like, you can complain, but you can't, you kind of can't, right? And I'm not just talking relative, just because, you know, like, yeah, he looks like a superstar compared to the rest of the rotation, but he's a grinder, man. And you know what else? Think about the games he's stepped up. You get Michael King into the playoffs, you know, like, I think you can be pretty confident throwing him out there. I'm not, you know, would you love to have a different game one starter and be able to hold Michael King for game 2? Yeah. But man, Michael King is a fighter.
Right. Thursday, Kevin, cover your eyes. Griffin Canning, 1-8 with a 6.67 ERA, going up against Chris Sale. This is not necessarily a knock on Griffin Canning. Chris Sale's excellent. Chris Sale's 10-6 with an ERA of 2 this year. Kevin, going up against Griffin Canning, who is 1-8 with an ERA of 6.67. Hasn't completed 5 innings in any of his last 6 appearances. The Padres are 4-10 when he pitches. He allowed 4 runs in 2/3 of an inning last time he faced the Braves. If the Padres are going to get hot, this series would be a good time to do it. This would be a good game to score 19 runs, I think.
I watched them deal last year on home runs by Gavin Sheets and Manny Machado. So don't think Gavin will be in this year there. I forget what it was, but he started last year against Sale. You know, lefty on lefty. I forget why, but that's not going to happen again, especially with the way Gavin's swinging right now. You know what they could use? Mm-hmm. Like, is it tonight's starter been struggling, Bryce Elder, recently? Mm-hmm. And it just seems to me, and I know this is selective, you know, like when you look at the clock and it's 1:23 and you go, every time I look at the clock, it's 1:23. Because, you know, you notice it's 1:23. I'm guaranteeing you, and I've done the research on this to know it's generally true. guys like Bryce Elder get better. They get well against the Padres. Mm-hmm. You know what would be nice for the Padres? Just a little Chris Sale off day. That would be nice. That'd be like a nice payback. Right. Now, the way the Padres are going, what'll happen is we'll be watching Chris Sale, you know, throwing pitches down the middle, and Manny Machado will be fouling them off and hitting it a double plays. Like, he hit that cutter 92 miles an hour and do a one-out, bases-loaded double play the other day.
Kevin, I put you on the spot at the end of every episode. This one's no different. You're in Atlanta for this series, then you go to Miami. What are Kevin Acey's tips to dealing with humidity?
I wish I had one. Stay out of the heat. But, like, you know, Sunday's a lot. Yesterday in Kansas City, Sunday's often my day to, like, catch up with coaches and maybe crash if I'm the only writer on the road. And so I was out there. I was like I was swimming. That's how wet I'm not a big sweater, but I was soaked. It was disgusting. If I had walked past me, I would have walked on the other side of the aisle, because that's how gross this old man was, just soaked. And I go inside, and they have blowers. You know, like those ones that clean the carpet? They're in the hallway in the between the clubhouse and the dugout, and I'm just letting it blow up in my shirt and everything, get all dry, go back out, talk to someone else. Drenched. Ryan, I have no idea. Do you know of any way? Like, the problem, you're a dry heat guy. I mean, that's where you lived forever, right? Mm-hmm. I got no problem with the dry heat. Yeah. I'm not saying you go run around in Tucson or Phoenix for an hour, but, like, you could be outside in it.
Right.
I'm going to be outside in 5 minutes for my, there's Truist Park right there, for my quarter mile, half mile walk, whatever it is. I'll be soaked 7 steps into it.
Kevin, you strike me as the kind of guy who has worn a seersucker suit in his life.
It's been a while. Yes. Where are we going?
That's one way to beat the humidity, Kevin. That's all.
You. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love the South. I do love the South, but this is a horrible time to be here. And here's the crazy thing about Miami. It's indoors. Thank goodness. It's so humid there. The humidity gets inside of the ballpark.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Jeez. Yeah.
Oh, tonight's going to be miserable. Oh, and so will tomorrow. Oh, and the next day. But you know what makes it great is also the possibility of rain delays in Atlanta. That's what makes the humidity tolerable.
I like this. This was a weird question, and yet I got you going. I win today. That's fantastic. Padres, Braves, 4-game series in Atlanta. We'll see if they're buyers or sellers after this week. That'll do it for this episode of the Hot Lava Podcast. For Kevin Acey, I'm Ryan Finley. We'll see you next time.